Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another beautiful day. It's a warm one. I'm a little winded, a little tired today. Did not do any yard work. Now, today we had some grandparenting. Younger son and daughter-in-law were needing to get some things done. So we had Kennedy from around 8:30 this morning till a couple of hours ago, and she's great. Kennedy. She's good. She's able to say her name.
Nice.
But yeah, little two-year-olds can wear you out. But it is absolute blast doing that. Welcome in, everybody. Bill here in the studio. Dan is on his way. He'll be in just a couple of minutes. He got an oil change and called to let me know he's on the way. Meanwhile, we're pleased to have back with us in the studio the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing?
Good to be with you today, Bill.
Oh, it's great to see you, Andy.
I was listening to the show yesterday, driving, and the conversation with Brian, and you were talking about obviously your excursion to Atlanta to see the Stones, mm-hmm. and Brian's weekly post. I love his in-depth writing about different groups.
And I've admitted to Brian a few times. I mean, I used to read the liners of albums back in the old days of DJing and owning albums. But he's usually able to pull a tidbit or two that I go, oh, I didn't know that.
Right. I agree. And they're very thorough. And of course, talking about Brian Matthews, and his group yesterday was Journey,
mm-hmm.
which it was probably. I'm not nearly as versed in rock concerts as you, but that was the first true rock concert I ever went to.
Oh, yeah.
1983 at the Holman Civic Center in Terre Haute, my senior year at Indiana State, mm-hmm. the spring of my senior year. It was their Frontiers album, and Journey came to play at Indiana State, and I went.
Wow.
And
I haven't had the chance to see Journey, and of course, they're not.
Well,
really,
and it was Journey with Steve Perry and Neil Sean, and they were obviously the main act, but the opening act for them was Bryan Adams.
Wow.
He had just come out with The Summer of 69.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his career blossomed after that, but it was a fabulous concert. And I haven't been to many rock concerts. I've been to many different concerts, not many rock mm-hmm. concerts, but that's by far the best one I ever saw.
I can imagine.
It was kind of at the height of their popularity at that point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. That's a tough one to top. Now, we did have Joe yesterday that called in, Dan, and we were talking, and we welcome Dan.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Dan.
Great to be back. Hello, Andy.
It's
wonderful to be here with what I consider to be like the John and Paul of Auburn Sports Talk Radio, right? We're talking rock concerts and didn't get to see John for obvious reasons at any point. And would love to see Paul, although I think he's pretty close to
likewise
calling it. And Ringo and his band were in, I think they were gonna do an
They were
act,
in Mexico last time I saw.
I believe they were either scheduled for something at Caesars, but they were going to be playing.
They're doing sort of. They have a little almost residence at Caesars.
And the last time I checked, he had the fella from Men at Work as part of the All Star band.
Colin Hay,
who's an interesting guy and a really
very incredible voice,
really really talented singer songwriter,
an interesting dude.
Yeah, no question.
Fascinating fella. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be I think that those two alone, I think, would be worth the price of admission.
Usually,
to
his All Star band is pretty impressive, and the thing he always does is he lets everyone who's there with the All Star band do two of their own songs. Okay. And it sounds just like, just, I mean, the band is talented enough.
Right.
Speaking of Journey, I mean, Greg Rowley was with Ringo the last time I saw his All-Star Band. But yeah, yesterday, so that's a very strong start by Andy today. We did have the Philly Fanatic, Joe, called in yesterday, and he was at Woodstock.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, well.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so.
How do you top that?
Can't top that
the
one.
The first one.
From he his, was at Woodstock.
Yeah, he was the original. Yeah, 69.
As a teenager. At Woodstock, it's in
Lord
69.
Have mercy.
That one is Woodstock, and the other ones you say the year. Like, yes, oh, you were at Woodstock '94. Right. You were at Woodstock '99. No, it was at Woodstock.
2019. Right. Yeah, no.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
The groups and the people that he saw.
Yes.
Remarkable.
Now he said he didn't.
Was he there
see
for
it
the whole time?
For
the whole festival.
I believe he said they got there day one. It had rained, so it was day two. But and they were way away from the stage, but he got to hear.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't really see an awful lot, I guess, in the
Joplin
mud.
Joplin and Hendrix and.
Yes.
I mean, now, Bill, were the 1969 Rolling Stones shows, that's before your time as a concert goer too, right? Like, is that's.
Just slightly.
Yeah, because they played on the same tour.
Just slightly.
On the same tour that's profiled in Gimme Shelter and the same tour where they play the Altamont Music Festival. That tour contains a pair of dates at what was then Memorial Coliseum and what was then brand new in 1969. I wonder how many folks who had been at that show Friday night, Bill. I wonder how many folks had been.
In 69.
I wonder how many folks were at
the Auburn
show.
I bet there were a few.
I bet there were a few. You were one of them.
Jagger asked. How many people are there from the state of Alabama? And there was a
really
there was a, yes. He just wondered how far people had come. He goes, "How many are from Alabama?" And there was a big roar. And then he said, "Tennessee." And then he
was like, "Did you see that with Kathy in 60 or the Rolling Stones here?"
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I did not see the Stones here.
Oh, you did.
I'd seen them in Mobile and in Birmingham.
Okay.
If you were a little bit older,
back in the '70s, though,
you would have been at that show in '69.
I would have.
Yeah, a little bit. Older
I would have. I was still in high school. I couldn't convince.
During the break, I'll show you the set list. I'll show you the set list from the.
Joe's parents were a whole lot better than mine. Apparently,
oh, I mean, for goodness sakes,
let him go to Woodstock.
I'll show you the set list from the '69 show at Memorial Coliseum, and you can tell me how many of those songs they played on the show you saw Friday
they
night.
They played a few of the oldies. I mean, you know, I mean, by then, I mean, they already, it wasn't even the early Stones in 69.
No, so November.
I mean, probably played quite a few of them.
November 14th will be 55 years from when the Stones played Memorial Coliseum in 69, its first year to the end. That'll be the 55th year anniversary.
That's where my office is to this day.
Yeah.
Among many other historic things that you got going on there, is it's still the home of Andy Burcham on campus.
Well, but before a lot of the things came out of there, Matt was working with Keith Bagwell's bunch, and they were cleaning out a lot, and he found some of the old posters and things like that from some of the shows
which were amazing.
Group of artists that came in.
There was, speaking of that, or just kind of going down this rabbit trail here, there was some stories that we use with the network in the Coliseum on that inner that hallway on the second floor.
Right.
And there was a storage room back there that we stored some of the stuff that we use. And there was some old football camp film in the cans.
Oh,
back there,
oh,
and
wow.
And there were some SEC championship trophies.
Are you kidding? There.
This was about 5-6 years ago. Folks have come over from athletics and gone through that,
and they found almost all of them except for the one or two that are on Andy's.
No,
the one that Andy's wearing around his mantle. The one around his neck. The SEC championship Andy's wearing around his neck.
Well, one of the things that I found though, and I went back looking for it, it was no longer there. Was a patch. From one of the Auburn astronauts on a mission.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
And I went back to look for that. It wasn't there. I'm not sure what happened to that. But one of the things.
I should know his name, but I know that I believe the Gary Sinise character in Apollo 13.
Like Ken Mattingly?
I don't know if it was Ken Mattingly, but it was probably Jim Voss.
Okay.
Who is one of the Auburn astronauts who grew or came to Auburn University from Opelika and was part. He was a wrestler at Auburn, and then went on to a remarkable career as an astronaut. But there are several. Auburn has an incredible boy, just completely going all over the place here, aren't we? But it's summertime.
Well, aerospace engineering.
Exactly. But there are several among those that have been in space that have Auburn degrees.
Last week, Andy, Justin Ferguson asked me some trivia questions on the Observer podcast.
I was listening to your podcast today.
Oh, yeah. I hope you enjoy this. Some familiar names. There are a couple I've been getting razzed about not getting, but I asked Don Dunn about some of the questions.
Yeah.
On Friday, and that led to folks sharing memories.
Sure.
I don't know if there's anything too pressing going on at the moment where we can't share a couple of stories. Ken Mattingly was the Apollo 13
Correct.
Character, played by Gary Sinise. And since we're talking,
that was not able to go up.
That was he's the one who has to stay. Is measles, I think it is. And then since we're talking about Memorial Coliseum a little bit. Pete Maravich's son passing away earlier this week.
Yeah, I saw that. He was 40, news. Just 42.
Yeah, early 40s, played for LSU as a walk-on in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But, of course, Pete Maravich was on the court for LSU the night Memorial Coliseum opened. The first game ever played there was Auburn hosting LSU with Pistol Pete in 1969 during his fantastic basketball career.
Yeah, so... As you can tell, it's getting near summertime.
Ken Mattingly and Pete Maravich, there, you know,
all the Rolling Stones,
all
Mick
the headlines,
Jagger, yeah,
and Journey,
yeah. There we go, and we're underway here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. You never know what direction we're going to go.
No,
you can head us in a, down the same road, or, you know, we can change directions. We'd love for you to join in with Andy here in the studio. You can give us a call on the Drive hotline. That number 334-321-1390, and it's sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. And a big shout-out to our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, Derek and the rest of the crew there.
A traffic update just for you all.
Yes.
My wife Jan, who works at Columbus State, was coming back from Columbus State, and apparently there is a traffic accident on I-85 that has bottled up both lanes going north and south, and I think it's the exit beyond Tigertown, the Bent Creek Road exit. So just, you might want to avoid I-85.
Like exit 60?
Yeah,
probably.
And I never know the numbers. I could tell you the names of the
57 is Bent Creek, 58 I think is
62 is
280 is the 280 in Opelika, yes. So it's probably around 60.
She made the mistake of getting off 280 at that exit to go to 85,
right?
And that's where she said it became a parking lot. So if you're heading anywhere close to the interstate, you may want to try to avoid it. At this point,
just be aware of that. Well, thanks for that update. Want to let you know
something. I feel
something.
Like such an old school radio guy, and we're giving traffic updates. I love
right.
it. And it's important. No, information for life.
It is.
I'll tell you what, if you use Google Maps, it is a deep crimson red in the interstate right there around. I would say exit 60. I don't know if it's one. If you keep going north from Tigertown, I don't know if it was the next one north of Tigertown, which I think would be 59 or 60.
That's what I consider the main Opelika exit. You can go right to Beauregard or left into Opelika downtown.
That's right. The one near Chuck's is the
right.
The,
exactly.
Is how I would think of it. But I think you
it is the Chuck's.
Avoid
exit. You're right.
Avoid that part of the interstate if at all possible is the understanding.
Near the old industrial park.
Right. That's exactly what you.
Which at one point served as a prisoner of war camp during World War II for Germans. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's incredible.
Yes.
How about that?
There you go.
Now, I just knew when I turned right, I'd go to the old Craftmaster, and that's where Mark Murphy's office
exactly.
was down there.
Correct. There you go.
Yeah, that's been a minute.
That's one of it's like seeing when I was in Las Vegas, I saw a Joe Louis statue at one of the I think Caesars maybe actually has that in the walkway. It was a Caesar MGM. Somebody has a statue of Joe Louis somewhere on their premises. And I remember thinking Joe Louis,
right.
Born in Lafette,
right.
Chambers County, Alabama, native. Family moved relatively early in Joe's life, but I believe to this day there is a somewhere on Chambers County property. There is a Joe Louis memorial, like, so, you know, somewhere, you know, probably within our listening area. I will admit I have not seen it in a very long time, but there's in fact a memorial to a, you know, to a legendary heavyweight. That's like, it's like, oh, by the way, he's also from
that Joe Louis.
Yeah, that Joe Louis,
the Brown Bomber,
Central Alabama, right. Central Alabama born.
Right.
All right. As you can tell, we'll go in whatever direction. We could talk some sports. We could do that when we come back. But we'd love for you to join in as we continue here with the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Andy Burcham, got Drew at the controls, and we have a call on the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, sponsored by Skybar, and let's get to it. And hi, welcome into the Drive. Who are we talking to?
Hey, it's Uncle Ollie. How are y'all today?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, y'all piqued my interest. I was going to call about Auburn football, but...
Oh, we can talk that. I mean, you know, talk a little sports.
I can talk music way more. You were talking about concerts you'd been to, and I guess Andy talking about his first rock concert. My first rock concert, I was in 11th grade, and me and a buddy, I drove my 1972 Honda Accord in 1976 to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium to watch a concert that started at noon, and the lineup was, it started out with 38 Special,
mm-hmm.
and when they finished, Edward Winter Group, I watched them play Frankenstein live, then after them, Blue Oyster Cult comes on, and after them, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Ooh.
That's strong.
And about 10 o'clock at night, Kiss comes
holy cow. On. What a concert.
That's one of the best.
That was my first
man,
rock
that's,
concert.
That was sort of my attitude early on back in when I was buying albums. I wanted to know a few songs before I bought the album.
Yeah.
That's sort of the way you're able to do it. It's something like that when you go in and you get that volume. How long did each band play? Probably, I wouldn't guess, much more than an hour and a half.
Well, it started at noon.
Yeah.
And Kiss came on at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay. Because, I mean, it's going to take you a little while to get the next band set up and everything.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. What time of the year was this?
It was August.
Okay. Lord.
Yeah. And watching Edgar Winter jump around doing the drum solos on Frankenstein.
How long was that song? Do you remember?
Oh my God! It had to have gone 8 to 10 minutes,
sure.
Easily. But I can still see him in my mind's eye jumping around doing the drum solos.
Well, you can't miss that. You can't miss that long white hair.
That's true.
Exactly. Of course, I didn't go to this concert, but I remember friends of mine telling me back in the day at Garrett Coliseum.
I was going to say, all right.
They went to a concert, and it was Foghat. And they all come back saying Foghat was okay, but, man, the opening band, man, they just kicked it, and it was Foreigner.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
A Foreigner had opened for Foghat, and they were talking about Foghat was okay, but, man, they couldn't hold a candle to the opening band. I just always thought that was kind of...
Well, that happens at times, and it's funny. While we were watching the Stones on Friday, I noticed that the opening band, which is pretty darn good, a group called Ghost Hound.
Okay.
All right. Was not familiar with them, but they were really good, very talented. But the sound, you couldn't quite distinguish the vocals very well. And I remember a few years ago hearing a very prominent rock and roller, saying that one thing that you had to make sure was that your opening act's sound was not as good as yours, because you didn't want to be upstaged by the opening act.
Yeah, and I watch. I'm consumed with YouTube and music stuff.
Uh huh.
And I was watching one the other night, an interview Howard Stern did with Don Felder.
Mm-hmm.
And Felder was talking about growing up in Gainesville, Florida, and all the people he associated with.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Allman Brothers, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Tom Petty was around.
He actually, in high school, gave guitar lessons to Tom Petty.
Yeah. I had,
job well done.
I had heard that. I had not heard him say that, but I'd read that a while back.
Yeah. But anyway, you piqued my interest with the music. I appreciate it, Andy. You're in my strike zone there, so I appreciate it.
I've seen a lot more gospel concerts than anything else. Gaithers and that Southern gospel. I love that. I've seen some country. Vince Gill. I saw Vince Gill in Montgomery. It was fascinating. Seen Alabama. Seen REO Speedwagon. But if there's one concert I would have loved to have seen from a rock perspective, and I've seen a documentary that was done about the group Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and it's really, really well done. I had no idea at one time they opened for Queen. I would love to see Queen and Kansas.
Yeah,
well, actually the other way. Kansas opening up for Queen.
Yeah, sure.
That would be the concert. If there's one concert from a rock perspective that I wish I could have seen.
And you know it was held. Yeah, it's like if you could have just been there for
that. That's
one.
The one that I would have liked to have seen, those two.
Great stuff, Uncle Ollie. It's great hearing from you. I will say, I'll throw one more. And again, we can get to sports here at one point. When he was talking about that list, the first, I didn't think of it as a rock concert, but when he said Garrett Coliseum, now years ago, what WBAM, the Big Bam in Montgomery, which was 740, was owned by the Brennans. They also owned the Mighty 690 in Birmingham, which was WVOK, I guess. I think that's what it was. And they owned a station down in Jacksonville, Florida. I think it was APE. But every summer, they would bring a huge, have a huge show. And in Montgomery, it was the Big Bam Summer Spectacular. In Birmingham, it was the Shower of Stars. And they would have some of the top acts on the charts that would come in. And the first big show that I went to, I was able to convince my parents that I was mature enough as a senior in high school, to hop a bus, rode a Greyhound to Montgomery and went to Garrett and saw the acts back then were like, I do think Deep Purple was there. They had done their version of Hush. They'd have acts like Billy Joe Royal and Lou Christie and B.J. Thomas,
sure.
and things like that. And there was like 10 or 11 acts that would be there. So that was my first big concert.
When he rattled off those groups he saw, they're now reunion concerts.
Yeah.
Those are reunion shows now. So Styx with Journey or REO Speedwagon in Chicago.
Well, as a matter of fact, our next one is Styx, Foreigner, and John Wayne.
There you go.
And then I know Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire are traveling together right now.
I'll give you a couple of pieces of news from the Florida Panhandle about this. First of all, because I don't want to derail, because I have a concert story. But since I'm talking Northwest Florida anyway, shout out to John Olson, who is the golf coach at Ruckel Middle School, who qualified for the U.S. Senior Open last week.
Cool.
He was golfing. I guess they held the Open. They did it at Wind Lakes in Montgomery. They held the Senior Open qualifier in the Southeast. And the teacher and golf coach at Ruckel Middle School, also Ruckel Middle School, the first ever place where Cliff Ellis coached. He got his start at Ruckel Middle School before evolving to Niceville High School.
And then, he could talk a music story?
I think Cliff Ellis could probably talk about some music too. But Cliff Ellis, former Ruckel Middle School coach, but John Olson, the coach at Ruckel Middle School, who's going to play in the Senior Open, which is a cool thing. So Niceville, and they used to do the Boggy Bayou Mullet Festival to commemorate the start of hunting season every year back in October, early November, mm-hmm. usually late October, and they would they'd have it was three nights of music along with food and crafts and, right. and you know knickknacks and things, but so the music was usually they would try to get a newer country artist, a headliner for Saturday, and then sort of a classic rock, you know, the act for Sunday. For a long time, Charlie Daniels sure. Would close things out on Sunday. One year, they book a little-known country singer, and between the time they book him and the actual festival itself, he releases a song called Achy Breaky Heart, and it becomes quite popular.
Right.
And Billy Ray Cyrus, by the time the Boggy Bayou Mullet Festival rolls around.
I bet he did not want to go to the Boggy Bayou.
Well, complicating things yeah. was that he was double booked that night to sing the national anthem at a Braves playoff game. Ooh. And so, but he held on, but he absolutely fulfilled. I think they held him to his contract, and he showed up by chopper, left Atlanta by chopper. I forget which one I think it was either he played, I think he must have left Atlanta by chopper and flown down to Niceville. Landed somewhere in that field in Rocky Bayou, and he performed that night as the headliner for the Mullet Festival, World Series and the Mullet Festival in the same.
He had a good mullet
in the same night. Absolutely,
he qualified for the Mullet Festival.
Could have been, could have been. Now he would have won it.
That's named after the fish, which was served in the festival. I can't say anything about the hairstyle, but right. the festival named after the fish and served in copious amounts back when they used to do that. Every year, among the other things you could get,
he had a really good mullet.
Quite a bit of fried mullet.
We had a great opportunity back after the oil spill. They were doing the Songwriters Festivals down in Destin, and you know you always get some great. You have some unbelievable talents, as they do here in Opelika. You know when they have that, it's amazing. But we went in without knowing. I knew the name. When I saw it, I went, I can't believe this guy's here. Steve Cropper was there. I mean, the guy who you hear called out by John Belushi on Soul Man. This guy wrote Dock of the Bay, Knock on Wood, Hold On, I'm Coming, Soul Man, and could... Seriously.
Still with us.
Play it.
82 years old.
The guy, he is a
Steven big, the proper, yeah.
big strapping guy who's an unbelievable guitarist. But
Booker T and the MGs. He was the house band. So they did a lot of the music behind Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding.
Time is tight, baby.
Sam and Dave, among other places. So it's like the Sam and Dave house band.
Yeah. Right, how about that?
That's pretty good.
All right. We'll get to a call before we get to our bottom of the hour break. And I promise you we'll talk some sports. Well, I mean, twist our arms. Go ahead. You're on the drive. Who are we talking to?
This is Tex.
Tex.
I've been wanting to call. I'm always tied up when Andy is on, so I wanted to compliment Andy. So, Andy, I'm at most home games, but when the Auburn baseball team is on the road, the picture that you paint it is a beautiful one. So I just wanted to tell you that. I enjoyed listening to you on the baseball game.
Thank you, Tex. I appreciate that.
I know it can't be easy. You know, sometimes your sight lines at stadiums aren't great. But you do a fantastic job.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Because being married to another former athlete, she allows me to listen to sports while we're driving down the road. So that's unusual in most families. But the discussion was about music, and the second reason I called in is, Dan, did you just really say Billy Ray Cyrus in a music discussion?
I wanted to tell a story about it. It was an early childhood memory of a concert, Tex, and he was a pretty big deal at the time, wasn't he?
Oh, okay, he was a big deal at the time, no question.
Well, it depends. Not anyway, so it made me start thinking about Beard Eve's concerts that I went to. Mm. And I had to think, and I've only walked out of one concert in my life, and Cindy and I walked out together. Kenny Loggins in Beard Eves.
Really? I've seen him twice.
He sat in a chair. I sat on a stool, played the guitar, and it was just non-engaged for the group that was there.
I've seen Kenny Loggins twice. He was with a band both times, and he was really good. To me, he was one of those guys that you forget how many hits he's had.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, you go all the way back to Loggins and Messina. I mean,
right.
You know, before
he must not have been good that night, though, Tex.
He was not good that night, okay. But I will tell you, my expectations were high going in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good, and the boss looked at me and said, "You ready to go?" And so, yes,
wow.
I was ready to go.
Smart man.
Yeah, well, I definitely married up, and I don't have a problem admitting that. The other band that I saw there that I still listen to today is Mother's Finest, because I like a cross between rock and kind of, I like horns and
yeah,
pianos.
Yeah, that's sort of soul R&B. Yep.
It's soul R&B, but it's they have some rock.
Well, they rock. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, Tex, I got to be honest with you. I know nothing about Mother's Finest. This is the first, and I'm for my age, I think I'm pretty
well
versed.
Yeah, Dan's pretty good.
This is a new one for me that I'll do some digging on.
And probably I'm gonna give you the two greatest concerts I've ever gone to, and I'll do 1A first. Would have to be Garth Brooks. I think he's one of the greatest entertainers ever. I really wasn't a country and western fan when I first saw him in St. Louis, standing 10 rows from the stage. An incredible entertainer that sounds exactly
wow
in person the way he does on the record.
Well, no lack of effort with that guy.
Yeah, you're
stage.
Not kidding. He works. He works hard. Now, when we saw Garth, it was we saw him in Birmingham at UAB Stadium. We weren't 10 rows away.
Well,
but it was still a great show.
We can't all be techs.
That's right.
No, well, and I would just tell you, so in 1970, and then the only reason this one trumps that, no pun intended, is that of when it happened. And it was in Atlanta, and it was Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, our last concert. And as a kid, I was lucky, a younger teenager, I was able to go to that concert. And it's amazing to me how well their instruments sounded in an environment like that. Old cruddy Fulton County Stadium, you know, there's no acoustics in there, but it was just pretty amazing.
Was this before
that.
Or after the accident, the plane crash?
It was the one that they left. That
really
ended up in the accident.
That's amazing.
Oh my.
That I didn't. Yeah. So I was about to ask the same question. This is the concert
before
they
were flying west.
Before the wow. fateful plane crash.
Before they were flying west and crashed in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So it was. And if you've never been, if you go up I-55 out of Hammond, Louisiana, there's a monument to where they crashed that they keep. And it's really kind of neat to go to if you're ever in that area. You got to be going that way to get there, just so you know.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, Andy, have you looked at the two transfer portal guys lately that we picked up in baseball?
I think there might be a third, actually.
Yeah, there
and
has
I,
been.
I can't comment on anybody until they've signed, but it appears
okay. It
appears that Auburn is not wasting any time. In the transfer portal,
and they're
from
very
a baseball
much,
perspective,
yeah, they're very much pursuing a couple of prominent pitchers.
Yes,
a couple of prominent pitchers.
Yes.
That they're hoping to add.
But they've helped. It appears that they've helped themselves.
They've
on
added
the middle
a catcher,
infield.
A middle infield
yeah,
for sure.
Yes, I like the way it's going right now, Tex.
Yes. So there's one that just hopped in from LSU.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I was a little surprised at that.
Not a pitcher.
Oh, I had seen the pitcher. Okay.
Yeah, the pitcher also would be a great – Dutton would be a great ad. Paxton Kling is a guy that runs like the wind and swings the bat really well. I cannot tell you why he wasn't in the lineup at LSU. I think he would be a good fit for someone that we just had jump into the portal last week.
Understand what you're saying.
Yes. and swings the bat with a little power and runs really well. Great defender, but has power. So that's it. I'll let you get on. I know you're close to a break. I hope you get your phones fixed soon, Bill.
Oh, well, hey, they're working good enough, Tex. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Y'all right. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. As a matter of fact, we're way behind. We need to get to break. Right back with more here on the Tuesday Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 18 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. And let's get right back to the drive. Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And who we got up next? Go ahead.
Hey, this is Mark. How you doing?
Good, Mark.
Hey, I got two or three quick points, and then I want to bring up a sports question, actually.
All right.
The first thing was my first concert was at the Montgomery Civic Center when I saw Styx.
Nice.
And I think that's down where the Renaissance Center is now. Is that correct?
That is right.
That was a great concert. The second, my favorite concert that I've ever been to was Georgia Jam 80. Ted Nugent was the main event. Molly Hatchett was second. Mm-hmm. The Pat Travers Band was before them. And then two bands that became fairly popular, but at the time were not that popular, the Scorpions and Def Leppard.
Wow.
It was at Road Atlanta.
Yeah, that's a pretty rocking show. Yeah, Georgia Jam had they had some big shows over the years.
Yeah, and it was on July 4th, and it was 100 degrees, and humidity was unbelievable.
A million, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I really appreciate Tex. I love listening to him, but that was not Lynyrd Skynyrd's last concert before their crash. It was their last concert was in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, it was one of their last.
Yeah, I wonder if he had the location mixed up, like he was at the show, but maybe he thought, yeah.
I think that was right before Greenville was right after Atlanta, I believe.
They were speaking of Tex, the fateful plane crash was headed to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
They were going to play. Yes. They were going to play LSU.
That's probably before Tex was headed to Baton Rouge.
And the last thing, a sports question. Did you guys talk about the windows for the Auburn schedule?
No, we have not. That was released today, and really interesting that you know if you have an early game. Well, you know if it is listed as an afternoon or an evening game, you know. But Auburn has early games on the road against Missouri.
The flex games can be moved.
Flex can be afternoon or evening.
Flex games means afternoon or evening, yeah.
Right, but we know that their early starts would be at Missouri and home against Vandy, right?
ULM is also a morning game.
Right.
But of the eight conference games, we know that the four home games feature two flexes. That's Arkansas and A&M. And they also feature an afternoon game against Oklahoma and an early game against Vanderbilt. Those are your four SEC home games. So Auburn could end up playing two night conference games at home against Arkansas and Texas A&M, if that's what the schedule, if that's what the puppet masters at the TV networks decide, that's where ESPN gets.
I'm glad to know. At least we have an idea.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. You know when you're going to have an early game.
Exactly.
The rest of them, they're at least afternoon.
I was hoping Oklahoma would be a night game, but I guess I'll take an afternoon. And we still have the possibility of Alabama being a night.
That
game.
Is right.
Exactly right.
All right, guys. I enjoy your show. Have a great day.
I have a story on Ted Nugent.
Georgia could also be a night game.
Is this regarding Coach Dye? Or?
It is.
Okay, cool.
It is. Coach Dye. Of course, I hosted Coach Dye's outdoor show for a number of years. And this is when we were on university. And, you know, Nugent is a huge outdoorsman. As a matter of fact, he's probably known more for his outdoors now than he is as the Motor City Madman. And Ted Nugent was on Coach Dye's show one night. And I didn't know if he really knew who Ted Nugent was beyond the fact that Ted Nugent was this rather outspoken outdoorsman.
Right.
And it was fascinating to listen to Coach Dye because he wouldn't let me jump on this interview at all. To listen to him interview Ted Nugent. Here's Coach Dye and the Motor City Man, and it was a fascinating interview between Coach Dye and Ted Nugent that night. It was, I was like, this is surreal.
Yeah. Well, they got to be really good. They got to be really good friends.
He sure did. How about that?
Yeah, he would mention him a time or two when he'd come in.
Sure.
It's like that it was hard to imagine.
I don't know if he knew at that point really who Ted Nugent was.
I don't think early on he did eventually. Right.
But it was fascinating to listen
to
that.
You think he'd heard Cat Scratch Fever?
I don't think he had at all.
Okay.
Until at that point.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody didn't play it for him later.
I would imagine that
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I guess before we pivot back to, before we take a break, but the listening to Wings on the way in, Young Turks, which is a song that we mentioned on the air.
Rod Stewart played over at Beardy's.
Rod Stewart. And wasn't Jim Fife was a big Rod Stewart fan?
Jim, absolutely.
That you was know who also was a big was Rod Stewart fan? Songs. Rod Bramblett and his wife.
Is that right?
I think they saw that concert here, and they saw him in Vegas as well.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say Young Turks was one of Jim's favorite songs.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our final break, and we'll do whatever here when we come back for the final segment of hour number one of the Tuesday Drive.
Take your brand to the next level.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. See, during the break, we got even more music trivia and stuff out there. It's fun. It's a time of year when there's not a ton going on. Let's do mention a couple of things, though, Andy. I mean, Nick Kleinert and his team winning the national championship, then Leroy Burrell nearly pulling a national title, and the men's track and field team nearly pulling the national title.
Here's the thing about both of those squads. Other than losing J.M. Butler, who's the one that clinched the championship match for golf, nearly everybody returns from that national championship team.
Yeah.
And they have signed again the best junior golfer in the country. Last name is Davis. It's the brother of Anna Davis, who was a freshman All-American for the women's team this year. And I just talked with Leroy Burrell today. We did a This Week in Auburn Track and Field. And in his second year, of course, they came within 1 point of winning the national championship last weekend on Eugene. They return everybody.
Wow.
Everybody coming back. So both of those programs are in really good shape after a national championship and a runner-up finish at the Nationals.
I saw that Brendan Valdez is an alternate
in the
U.S. Open.
He's in.
This weekend, I was going to say, there are a couple of withdrawals, including Scheffler, I believe, who has the – or is it Rahm? Someone's got a foot injury and dropped
out. It's not Scheffler. Scheffler's there.
Scheffler's there, yeah. He's had an eventful last couple of weeks.
Right. So,
yeah, Valdez in at Pinehurst.
Correct.
In the U.S. Open.
And that starts Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. Should be an exciting
game. And Jackson Coivin, who was the – National Player of the Year, made the cut, finished at the Memorial at the Jack Nicklaus's tournament in Muirfield Village last week.
Yeah, so
there you are.
Very, very impressive. I think we've got time. Let's get back to the drive hotline and see if we still have a caller hanging on. Hey, who have we got?
Crawdaddy, 2 days in a row.
Oh, man, it's good to hear from you.
Crawdaddy.
I wanted to call today since Andy was there and just make a statement. I think everybody feels the same way that I do, that he and Jan are very, very special people. And I learned this word the second year of law school for a plethora of reasons that everybody knows. So, but God bless you. To corner phrase some Sons of the Lambs, Auburn and the world are a much better place with you in it.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I'm not through because I wanted to talk about concerts. Bill, you were probably there too. The Three Dog Night, LSU Homecoming, 1970.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Which was in third row, whatever.
But ooh, I wasn't that close then.
That weekend was the damn rain. I had on a brand new suit. It was ruined. It was absolutely ridiculous. Plus, we got beat.
Yeah, that's right. It was miserable.
Yeah, my favorite concert was the 1995 Hell Freezes Over, which my wife paid for. It was our 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, man.
And we stayed at the Ritz-Carlton, and all on her. And so this is country come to town. Hell, I get in there, And I said, damn, no wonder this place costs so much because all the booze and the beer and everything. Well, guess what? Hello, I found out later it wasn't free. So, at any rate, God bless all y'all. Thanks so much.
Great to hear from you, Crawford. Oh, man.
That's good.
Yeah. Eagles probably still, as far as the tightest band I've ever seen live, and it was both times. I mean, so.
Never seen them.
Saw them here and in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Front row here.
Good for you.
Were they
at the Coliseum?
Yes.
Okay. Fabulous.
Andy.
My pleasure.
Man, it's great having you here. What's going on? I mean.
Right now, we're gearing up for our first Tiger Talk in mid-August, gearing up for the football season. Talking Tigers podcast this week is with those three of those Auburn golfers, head coach Nick Kleinert, J.M. Butler, and Alex Vogelsong. So that's this week. The next 2 weeks following that, Auburn's general manager for player personnel, Will Redmond.
Oh, that's great.
Talks about the process that they're in right now. So that's the next couple weeks of the Talking Tigers podcast.
Andy, yes, you're welcome back.
Thank you.
Anytime, man. Anytime you're in the neighborhood, stop in. Been a blast of a first hour. We'll continue, I guess, with hour number two on the other side here on the Tuesday Drive.
Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. It is hour number two of The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Fun first hour. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, in. We talked a little sports, but, I mean, you know, it's that time of year when, Auburn did get a commitment. We'll get to that. Auburn picking up a football commitment. As Brian Matthews yesterday was saying, what a busy, busy time it is for football recruiting. But it's the slower time of year outside of the football recruiting that is going on. It is it's summertime and folks are traveling. There are a lot of concerts and shows and things going on. So yeah, we'd gotten into talking some music and did it a little yesterday, and Andy came in and jumped right in there, and we sort of stuck with that for most of hour number one. We'll do whatever you would like, go whatever direction you would like here in hour number two of The Drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
Of course, you can text the show, 334-564-1840, on The Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use our podcast center.
Yeah, so if you missed anyway, we encourage you to check it out. You can call us on The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
I want to give a shout out, Bill. I tried out Montgomery Whitewater.
Yeah, you were talking about that before we were headed to Atlanta last week. You said you might try it. How was it?
So it's in a part of town I'm really familiar with, because it's just outside the entrance gate to Maxwell Air Force Base. Mm. I used to go there. And
all right.
You actually dropped me off. You dropped me off there one time they've extensively redeveloped the area around the entrance gate to Maxwell Air Force Base, including installing. So there's a park with free admission, and then there's inside that park there's a store where you can buy gear or rent gear for
tell me about the park.
Okay, so the park is largely I would say that the main attraction is that they have designed a beginner's level rafting course and a competition level rafting course. Apparently they had Olympic rowing hopefuls in for training in the last month or so. And so people can either individuals can rent kayaks or people in groups can rent. I think, you know, up to a group of six can go into a raft with a guide, and you get some basic instructions, and then you go on the beginner's course. And if enough of you, I think there's an age limit, but if you have, you know, everybody in the group's over 10 or over 11, you can then go, and if you want to try the competition course once or twice, you can. And there's, you know, there are times when it gets pretty fast. There's some sharp turns and things. Even on the beginner's level course, there's a couple steep drops and things. Competition level course, it's all a little bit more intense, but it's brand new. Place was pretty crowded there for a Saturday. They were doing some events and things. But
it's a fun thing to do on the weekend.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing in downtown Montgomery that I hope folks will check. Totally unsolicited. They're not sponsoring this.
I just checked
it out this weekend and thought it was a really cool thing. And I hope I think I'm going to return at some point. And it's certainly if I lived a little bit closer, I think I'd be there all the time. There's a bar restaurant sort of attached to the area too. You can sort of take in the you can take in the views and everything, or you can go play in the beginner's course or the competition course. Go play in the water.
That sounds good. So yeah, I'm glad
family,
you gave us
a family activity, you know, something for folks to check out there in downtown Montgomery.
Sure. Hey, want to let you know of something that we have coming up this Friday. We're going to be at Moe's Original Barbecue on Bent Creek Road as ESPN 106.7. Going to be live on location. Going to have On the Line 2 to 4, and then The Drive from 4 to 6. We'll be there at Moe's from this Friday. Brought to you by Sensa Green Heating and Air. Moe's going to have $3 Bushwhackers from 4 until 9. Live music from Jake Harrelson starting at 8:30. Of course, the U.S. Open we mentioned going on, and we'll be there talking about whatever. The biggest news in Auburn athletics and, just whatever you want to talk about. Love for you to come on out and join us at the Bent Creek location of Moe's Original Barbecue this Friday from 2 until 6, brought to you by Sensa Green Heating and Air. For air that's cool and clean, call Sensa Green.
Yeah, shout out to Sensa Green for helping us with these live events. Very cool, and looking forward to checking out Moe's, and we're, I believe that's, if it's Friday, that's game 4 of the finals, isn't it? I believe it's Wednesday, Friday this week. Is that right?
Yeah,
Drew?
I think so.
Wednesday, Friday, the finals this week.
Is it not tonight?
I thought it was tomorrow night. Let me check on. Right, so we've got the NBA Finals schedule, because we're going to carry those on ESPN 106.7, by the way. Celtics up 2-0 so game 3 tomorrow in Dallas, game 4 Friday. Celtics could be looking to close it out.
Yeah, it could wrap up
if they could
be done.
I mean, the Mavericks, you know, feels like a bit of a last stand tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're, I mean, no one in the NBA has ever come back from down 3-0. So if you want to win this thing, you probably need to win tomorrow night if you're the Mavericks. And if they don't, and it's 3-0 Celtics on Friday, we could be looking at Boston. It's an amazing fact, Bill, especially because the Celtics have been so successful over the last decade without winning a championship, but. You know, Boston's only won one title since Bird retired. The Boston Celtics.
Well, now there were some tough years.
There were some tough years.
There were some really tough years.
But I think people would be surprised to think it's what 33, 34 seasons since Larry Bird retired, and the Boston Celtics have won just the one championship they had. They've been to the finals a couple times. They lost to the Lakers in 10. They lost to the Warriors a couple of years ago. But this year they're back. They beat the Lakers with the Kevin Durant team or the Kevin Garnett team in the late 2000s. But no, that's the one Celtics championship. Because people think about like Lakers and Celtics, and historically that's true. But so many of the Celtics championships are 1986 and before, which is, I mean, we're coming up on there have been 40 NBA seasons since then. And there's still a marquee franchise, and those championships they won are still real.
Oh, yeah.
But since 86, the Lakers have, I think, I mean, they've won, I mean, between the Kobe 5 titles and then the one that LeBron won with the, you know, in the pandemic, you've had multiple Heat championships. You've had the Warriors go on the run that they've had. I mean, it is, and while the Celtics, you know, they've been able to maintain their relevance and look to be on the verge of what would be just their second championship since Bird retired in the early 90s.
Yeah, so that could be that could be happening on Friday as well. All right, so Friday we will be on location at Moe's. Want to let you know about Thursday's show. We're very pleased. We're going to be joined by Auburn AD John Cohen right at the top of the show.
Going to ask about some of his favorite bands.
Absolutely. Why not? I think we should ask everybody we have on about that.
What are you most interested to hear about from John Cohen?
Just, probably some things that he doesn't have answers to yet. I mean, just his feelings as, you know, the direction we're heading here.
I would say a year and a half into the Hugh Freeze era, sort of his, you know, where is it versus what he was expecting. And I think I'm interested in... how they landed on Team Malvo,
right,
for the new softball job, sort of what they were, you know, what does he prioritize, what does he really emphasize in a coaching search, especially this coaching search that landed with the Malvos getting that job. But I guess there's also questions about the landscape of this industry.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't know how much he can talk about.
No, that's the thing. A lot of those. I mean, everybody's wondering, you know, how it's going to go. But just his feeling as we're headed toward revenue sharing, and you know, NIL and Title IX. I mean, there are just so many questions.
I'd like to know his thoughts on the word employment and where that factors in, because as a sitting AD at a place that would clearly want to stay in the top tier of college athletics. You know, it seems like there's less opposition, you know, less opposition than there used to be, even if some opposition remains to full-fledged employment. I'd love to know his thoughts on that and a whole lot more. So we're starting the show
Thursday
with Auburn Athletic Director John Cohen in the house.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. So just keep that in mind as we continue. I mentioned, by the way, Auburn picks up a football commitment today. A player who came down with a teammate of his that Auburn's very interested in, former Ohio State commit Blake Woodby, but Bryce Deese is a big safety. I mean, you wonder. I mean, he's a guy that I believe played most of his time this past year as an edge rusher. He's 6'2", 205, from St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, and he's just an outstanding big athlete. Auburn could look at him at a couple of different spots. He apparently ran a 4.5 40 in Auburn's camp, was a standout at their elite camp, and then performed very well in a private workout as well. DJ Durkin offering him, and of course DJ very familiar, recruits the state of Maryland for Auburn, and Bryce said, "I knew when I got the offer that I wanted to make Auburn my next home." He had offers from, among others, Maryland, Penn State, USC, Georgia Tech, Colorado, Virginia Tech, and other schools. So, I mean, he's a big physical athlete with a tremendous burst and acceleration.
And the number gets closer to 20, right, for
yeah,
Auburn,
that's,
as they...
I may be behind. It's either 13 or 14. I've got to check. It's Auburn's approaching the middle teens right now in commitments.
Really, really impressive. I mean, so Auburn, as they continue to... As they continue to try to stack up an impressive recruiting class, they don't want to be looking to add too much to the class of 25 during the season. It sounds like they want to have
like to have as much of it done as possible. And Brian Matthews telling us yesterday, I mean, Auburn has six guys on campus that came in yesterday that are there visiting. They have at least another one coming in tomorrow. So, I mean, they're going to have a lot of players already having made official visits, you know, before the dead period kicks in at the end of the month. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. We'll go ahead and get to our first break of hour number two.
Jake Crane is back in America.
Oh, good.
We can call Jake Crane at 5:30. So we will talk to Jake for the first time. Found out he was in Europe as we were trying to call him last Tuesday. So Jake is back, and we'll call Jake.
And you know, that can hit your phone bill a little bit too.
Yeah, and the time change is tough too. I mean, it's late or early over there. I forget.
All right, so we'll get to our first break. You've got another segment where we can take your calls, 334-321-1390, here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, this is Gary. 7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 18 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Again, our thanks to Andy Burcham with us. Hour number one today. And yeah, we talked all kinds of things. And we did get a little sports in, as he mentioned. Yes, the outstanding performances by the men's golf team, the men's track and field team, golf winning the national title, track and field finishing 1 point back, and Leroy Burrell with no seniors on the squad that finished just 1 point out of winning a national title this year. So, things are winding down now. We do now have the field set for the College World Series. 4 SEC teams, 4 ACC teams, as NC State knocking off Georgia last night. So you have Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, and Texas A&M from the Southeastern Conference. And then Florida State, North Carolina, NC State, and Virginia representing the ACC. How about that? Four SEC, 4 ACC teams in the College World Series.
As the SEC and in its final season without Texas and Oklahoma, looking to bring another national championship home from Omaha. Quite a few SEC teams enjoying success at the College World Series lately, but the ACC no slouch they've beaten some SEC teams to get this far. So yeah, it should be really interesting to see how things shake out in Omaha with the I don't know, Bill. Where would you? You got a team. You got a team in particular that you think is.
Tennessee still looks.
Yep.
They look pretty darn good. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if just about any of those teams won though. I think it's a pretty loaded College World Series.
Yeah, I would say right now let me see if I could find national championship odds for the College World Series. It could be give me a second.
Well, while you're doing that, one of the things, yes, a caller a little while ago mentioned that at least windows for the SEC's football schedule for the rest of the season were released today. We'd had the first 3 weeks released by ESPN and ABC last week, and now we have an idea, at least for the windows, and we do know there are 3 early starts for Auburn football this year, 2 at home, 1 on the road. The road early game will be the Missouri game, and that's not bad. When you're having to play, you know, Auburn gets an open date in between the Georgia and Missouri game, and the Missouri game will be that early start. You'd never mind playing an early game on the road.
That's the preferred time to play a road game in general. Like, you know, and I know that's why a lot of folks, you know, it's your least favorite time to play
a home game
in that situation. I do wonder if that attitude changes at all as more big games are moved to 11 a.m. because of ESPN. You know, if they start playing,
I would think that eventually it changes some.
That'll take time, though.
Yeah,
it's not
going to be an immediate thing that oh yeah, big games are played at 11 o'clock. Everybody, you know, is going to be as rowdy at 11 in the morning as they would be at 7 at
now,
9.
Very, very few games were penciled in as night games, right? It was a lot of flexing where the SEC has the option.
The only night game that we know of for sure that Auburn has for after the first 3 weeks. I mean, you've got you have
in conference.
You have the Cal game.
Yeah.
2:30, and you have the Alabama State New Mexico games are at 6:30. The only conference game scheduled for night right now is in Lexington.
That's right. At Kentucky is Auburn's only written in set in stone, written in pen,
and game. That's going to bring some complaints from Auburn fans want a night conference home game, and you may get one because the flex games can be either afternoon or evening.
You may get two. Arkansas and A&M are both flex games that could be flexed to the evening. Auburn could end up with as many as two SEC night games. They could also have as few as zero.
They could have. That's right. And on the road, there are two other flex games, and those are the Georgia and Alabama games.
And both of those games were played in the afternoon for so many consecutive years because of CBS. Either of those games being shifted. I know there was I want to say there was an Iron Bowl played in the evening in Tuscaloosa in the last couple of years, but maybe I have that. Maybe I'm mistaken, and maybe it's always been the 2:30 game on ESPN for most.
Yeah,
of the
one
last...
of the things that makes it a little difficult at times is because it's so late in the season, it's always dark.
Yeah,
it's always dark at least for the second half.
But yeah, both of the both the Georgia and Alabama games could be afternoon games.
But they're not going to be early games.
Yeah,
that's the good thing is they're not going to be early games. Then the one other game that'll be early is the ULM game on November 16th. Will be an 11:45 kick on the SEC network. So it's at least good to know that you don't have to worry about when other games or what other games might be early. Vandy, I mean, it's not, that's just not a shock, really, that's an early game. I mean, it seems like Auburn and Vandy have played a lot of early games. Seems like everybody at Vandy plays some early games.
And we know Auburn-Oklahoma is a is going to be an afternoon game.
That's going to be a hot one. The last Saturday in September. So that most likely, I mean, that'll be, 2:30 or 3:00. So it's going to be a hot one.
And that's going to be, Oklahoma's first ever visit to Auburn.
That's right.
First ever road conference game for Oklahoma. They host, Tennessee the week before, mm-hmm. and then they come to Auburn in their second game in conference ever as an SEC team. And I remember when I was here for USC. I was here for Penn State when a historic program that has never played here before comes to town.
Those haven't gone well, have they?
They have not gone well for Auburn, those two.
I remember Texas and Nebraska's first visits.
I mean, is there somebody in the last?
Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, that hasn't gone very well.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't, Bill. West Virginia, Auburn beat them.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not quite the same
they're
tier.
They're not quite there with the history of the other schools.
Not quite the same tier, about. I understand. But no. Auburn. But I think that Oklahoma thing will be, and it's going to be. That feeling is going to be prevalent this year because so many of these SEC schools have never hosted Texas or Oklahoma, or they've never gone to Austin or Norman. Mm-hmm. But I really think that atmosphere when Auburn, especially if Auburn can go into that game 4-0, if you can avoid what I think would be slip-ups against Cal or Arkansas, and if Auburn go into that game 4-0, I think there will be real enthusiasm on both sides, and it could be could be one of those electric sort of weekends in Auburn.
Everybody's really looking forward to that.
Fifth straight home game too, which you'd be worried about some. You'd be worried about some burnout in that situation, but not when you're talking about Oklahoma coming to town.
We go 6:30, 2:30, 6:30, either 2:30 or evening, and then another afternoon. So that's the way. The month of September, you don't have any early games.
Found the College World Series odds right now. Tennessee at +250, 2.5 to 1. Texas A&M, 3 to 1.
That's the two teams, the first two that come to mind for me.
Kentucky, your next up, 5.5, +550.
Interesting. Kentucky doesn't quite have the thunder in the lineup that the first two do.
UNC at 7.5 to 1. Florida State at 8 to 1. UVA at 10 to 1. NC State at 11-1, and Florida, the long shot on the board, 16-1 odds.
Yeah, well, Florida, was barely over .500, going into the postseason.
Was a surprise. I mean, they were a bubble team. With I saw that one place had Florida at 100-1 to win it all. When either a week before or 2 weeks before the tournament, when Florida's chances were in more jeopardy as a tournament team at all, Florida was an extreme long shot to win the championship. Now they're in the College World Series, still a long shot at the College World Series at 16-1. But they're still alive. They're one of the last eight dancing there in Omaha.
Yeah, because last night NC State stamped their ticket to Omaha by knocking off Georgia, despite Charlie Condon's 37th home run of the season. What an unbelievable two-year career Charlie Condon has at Georgia. 62 home runs in two seasons. They didn't even make the postseason a year ago. So 56 games a year ago, and then they played 59, 60. They played 60. In less than 120 games, Charlie Condon with 62 home runs at the University of Georgia.
Incredible.
As he might be the number one pick in the Major League Draft. He's going to be a top five pick for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got big Jack, right, as the other guy in Gainesville that folks are folks are paying attention to as one of the top prospects on the board. I've seen him high up in some of these.
Oregon State got a kid too. Conn, an unbelievable story, a walk on at Georgia. I mean, a 6'6", 220-pound guy that a lot of people say, you know, he looks like he's the next Aaron Judge.
It's amazing to think that a guy, I mean, and under-recruited.
Yeah.
He was going to play
football and also play baseball because he couldn't get major college offers until Georgia at the last minute said, "Hey, come here and let's see what you can do."
And Cags, the two-way player for Florida, who folks expect to see him focus on hitting at the major league level, although he's a 6'5", 250-pound left-hander, Bill. So maybe he could make some money doing that too, with throwing 98 with a couple other pitches for strikes. But that's also, I mean, one of and Braden Montgomery from A&M, folks have as a top five pick as well. So I mean, you could have two or three SEC players going near the top of the Major League Baseball draft, including Condon,
which is pretty much becoming the norm after seeing the top couple of guys last year from LSU. All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And, man, look, I look and I see one of the hardest working men that we know, our engineer, Terry Harper.
Hello, Terry.
Just now carrying some more equipment out of the studios here. We were talking before the show, and again, for those that may have been wondering why things are a little bit different when you call in to the show, and it'll automatically connect you now because of that electrical storm. Terry said there was lightning that hit very near, did not hit the building, but there are businesses up and down the road here that just still don't have any of their electronics working properly because of that sudden surge from the lightning strike back on Memorial Day. We're slowly getting things back in, and we're pleased that we do have access to the phones. It's a little bit different than it was before, and we're very pleased to be joined now. Last week we tried calling him, it didn't register that he was not in the country a week ago, but he is back, and he is back with us on the drive, and that's our good friend Jake Crane from Crane & Company. Jake, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, this is the only time of year we can really take a little bit of time off, and I made the mistake of texting the call-in number, and I don't know if it went through to let you guys know I was going to be out. But no, it's great to be back, man. Look, there's no place like the United States of America, that's for sure, but we had a good time over there.
Yeah, where'd you go?
Man, we went to London and then went across the channel to France for a little bit. We went there on our honeymoon last year and decided we wanted to go back and because we enjoyed it so much. But I was ready to get home.
Oh, I bet. Now, hey, all right. So since we spent
Jay, did you eat pretty well over there? France is about as good as like it's been a while since I went. But I've been to France a couple times, and that's yeah. about as good as you can possibly eat.
Well, look, they don't do many things better than us over there, but when you build your food to make it quality and not to see how long it can last so you can sell it, it's amazing the difference.
Ooh, no, it's you know what, if you can't have cheese, you feel awful for someone when you go to France, because that's a
I can't imagine that. Hey, I gotta ask you before we jump into some other stuff. We've spent an awful lot of time here the last few days. Probably a lot of it's because I went and saw the Stones this past Friday in Atlanta.
Nice.
But we've gotten into it, and Andy jumped in. We had Andy Burcham on in hour number one. He jumped in with his first big rock show was Journey. And we've talked about some favorite shows and best shows and things like that. Does anything come to mind for you?
Oh, man, like a concert?
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm going to be honest with you, Bill. I'm going to say something here that's probably going to ruffle some feathers. I've never actually been to a concert.
Is that right, Jake?
I've never been to one, man.
Wow. We're have to start like a GoFundMe or something.
Yeah,
to get Jake to a show here. You've been busy
and
all this. Lot.
Jake, is there a musical? Is there a musical act still touring or making music that you would really want to see before he or she or they call it a career?
Red Hot Chili Peppers, no doubt.
Oh, who are playing? I believe they're in Bonnaroo this weekend, as a matter of fact, playing the musical festival in Tennessee. I know a couple people going up there to see the Chili Peppers, who I've seen a couple of times, as a matter of fact, including it was probably it was the By the Way tour after the '03 album came out, and a couple they're sensational live.
Yeah, Brian saw them at Red Rock.
Yeah, well, and yesterday Brian Matthews was just pining on if he was ever a show he could have gone to, it would have been the one where the Chili Peppers, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam were all on the same
oh, God,
set.
That yeah, that, like a good yeah, time. The, that sounds you know, like a time I wouldn't remember.
No kidding.
In the early '90s, the rock stations, you know, K Rock and some of the other big city alternative stations would put together these bills, and you look back on them in hindsight, and it's just so many. I mean, it's just a murderer's row. Of bands that were doing stuff like that, but yeah, see the Chili Peppers, you know, before it's too late if you can, Jake, because they are they're sensational.
I've got to. It's definitely on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, it is summertime. I mean, I know that football recruiting camps and recruiting and that is going full bore. But as you said, it's the time of the year where, you know, if you can sneak away for a little while and get away from it, it's a great time to do it. So,
no doubt.
So it was great to have you back in the States, and you come back, and I mean, schools are filling up. I mean, you look around, and man, if you don't have double digit, and probably I'd say close to 15 commitments right now, you're running a little behind for 25.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, look, the calendar's changed, right? The new signing day is in December. February is just kind of like I call it the late signing period now, and guys are filling up. I mean, you get some of these NIL offers out there. But I tell you what, guys, I have never been, and you know me, I call it like I see it. I've been critical of Auburn at junctures when I feel like it's merited. But I have never been more excited for the Auburn football program than I am right now, because this coaching staff, and it starts with the head guy, with Hugh Freeze, is unbelievably relentless. But a lot of guys work hard. Like, my washing machine works hard. But when you mix that level of hard work and relentlessness with the genuine ability to recruit as a whole staff, We are seeing Auburn get kids and win battles and go places and get players that we haven't seen in a long time. And the minute the on-the-field play matches what's going on off the field, which I think it will soon, the bomb will be complete. The Manhattan Project will be rolling. I haven't been as excited about Auburn football like I am right now in a long time.
Yeah, we're going to talk to John Cohen on Thursday here on the drive, and that was something, you know, I was going to sort of pose the question to you that, you know, one of the questions we'll ask the athletic director on Thursday, which would be, you know, you're a year and a half or so, a little more than a year and a half into the Hugh Freeze era. And yeah, I mean, sort of what do you think he was expecting? Where do you think it, you know, where do you think it's landed as far as, you know, his expectations versus what we've seen? Because I have to imagine there's enthusiasm with the way Hugh Freeze has been able to quickly turn Auburn into a destination for players that weren't, you know, the caliber of which Auburn hasn't necessarily signed at certain positions in a long time.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, Hugh Freeze and these guys are so competitive. They want to win every game. I think they'll tell you that they let some slip last year, and you know the ones that I'm talking about, and it wasn't up to his standard, but they're building it. I mean, these things take time, even with the transfer portal now. But if you look at the way that Auburn has kind of recreated the roster quickly, if you look at the way they're recruiting, the type of player that they're getting, it's only a matter of time before the whole puzzle gets put together. And I think he's, again, you're never happy with where you're at if you're a real one, because, you know, you want to be the best at everything you do. But I think when you look at Auburn right now, Hugh Freeze probably got a little bit of a smile on his face and the rest of that staff, knowing that the monster's getting built. It's just not there yet.
No, and then I would think, I mean, in the case of, well, you know what, I mean, looking at last year, Jake, you made reference to games that slipped away. I had a discussion on the Observer podcast about this last week, and it's interesting because I can understand why folks would think you had Ole Miss or Georgia or Alabama on the ropes. You know, Alabama was in, you know, real trouble. Looked to be down.
Yeah, should have.
Looked to be down. Okay. Maybe for the count in that game. And those games you could say slipped away. I think certainly Alabama. But to me, the real missed opportunities that irritate you are the games where it seemed like Auburn had the better roster on paper. The clearest example, of course, is New Mexico State. If you want to lump Maryland in there too, bowl games are such a crapshoot with what you're getting on the field these days if they're not playoff games. But I would think the one that's, you know, maybe you'd have loved to hold on in one of those three rivalry games where you seem to be outgunned going in. But the one that's really got to be a missed opportunity, just because it was, you know, it was it's inexplicable how it played out the way it did, was that New Mexico State game.
Yeah, without a doubt. Look, you always want to win the ones you're supposed to win, and you want to be in the ones you're not supposed to win. I thought Auburn did a really good job of being in the games they weren't supposed to win. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, and I think Hugh Freeze will tell you this, you got fourth and goal from the 31, last play of the game. You got to get a stop there, right? In the fourth quarter, you got to find a way to at least slow Georgia down and give yourself an opportunity, because you fought so hard the whole game. But and the Alabama game is a little bit of an anomaly. The other ones you can kind of understand. New Mexico State, there is no understanding. I think the staff would tell you the same thing. They didn't show up. They thought they were going to roll their helmet out there and win. It was a Super Bowl for New Mexico State, which is a team that won 9 games. It wasn't like this was a 4-8 Group of 5 team, but you learn from those things, right? It's not a loss if it's a lesson. It's early. It's something you can point back at, and maybe that New Mexico State game will save Auburn in another game coming up this year.
Yeah, you sure hope so. I mean, because you've got some of those games where, you know, everyone is already marking them down as wins, and we've talked about that, you know, ad nauseum, about the fact that you've got the 5 straight games at home to get things started. You feel like you're going to be 4-0 going to Oklahoma, and a lot of people are just assuming, well, you're going to be 5. But boy, you can't slip up and lose a game before you've got one of those big games and then drop it as well.
No, and look, I think there's a good chance Auburn's going to be 5-0, but I can afford to look at it like that. You can afford to look at it like that. Dan can afford to look at it like that. The fans can afford to look at it like that. Auburn can't look at it like that. It's not even about the first game right now. It's the next lift. It's the next run. It's the next class. It's the next meeting. The trick of this thing isn't, oh, we got to play well against this team, or, oh, you know, we can't overlook this team. It's turning it into a faceless opponent. It's not about the team we are playing. Yeah, we'll get the game plan right. Yeah, we'll make schematic adjustments. But it's about us and how we play. That's how you're able to sustain success throughout what is an absolute fistfight of an SEC schedule year in and year out. So that's what the staff's trying to do right now. You don't want to go into the first game against a Group of Five team and say, oh, man, you know, we really want to play good, but we got to play excellent against Georgia. No, it's we're going to have a great week of practice, starting with the film session, with the scouting report, with the meetings. We're going to go out and handle our business and understand that if we play how we're supposed to play, the rest is going to take care of itself.
And you hear coaches say it, and but I don't think fans a lot of times appreciate.
No, fans don't need to, Bill.
Fans
don't need to.
But what I'm getting to is one thing that fans don't realize is how important this time right now and over the next 6 weeks, how important this is. This summer workouts, the quote voluntary workouts that the team has, you had better. Everybody had better be on the same page. You'd better have that chemistry and be ready to click, regardless of who your first game is. This team building that goes on over the summer is critical.
Yeah, well, I call it voluntarily mandatory.
Yeah.
Because if you don't come to volunteer workouts, then you're volunteering not to play. Listen, the team is built in winter workouts. They're built in spring practice, and they're built in the summer. If you're waiting for fall camp to put a team together that can really come together and build that chemistry. And chemistry isn't just, oh, well, you're going to do this on the option route, and I'm going to know because we're going to be so in sync. Yeah, that's a part of it. But chemistry is on 4th and 1 when we got to get it, and I know we're running it, and they know we're running it, us doing all those things in the summer and going to eat at Raising Cane's together and going fishing together and hanging out together, knowing each other's families, that's where you get 4th and 1, not in fall camp.
Right, and that's that search for chemistry. I mean, hearing Bruce Pearl and some of the basketball players talk about it last year, you know, that desire to when teams are being assembled the way they're being assembled these days with veterans, you know, jumping ship in the portal and going elsewhere and teams having to be reassembled on the fly, that search for chemistry, it's one reason why being able to retain as much of your roster as you can is so important, so you're not having to try to find that in the offseason. But then if you are building a roster largely from scratch, like a lot of these programs are doing, or you're having to replace a lot of your roster in the portal, being able to do those things to find to build chemistry quickly, it's more important than ever before, Jake.
No, and it's harder for coaches than ever before. I mean, mm-hmm. with the transfer portal now being the way that it is, that's what I think. That was the most impressive part, in my opinion, of what Mike Norvell did last year. I mean, that was a team they Frankensteined together out of the portal and went undefeated in the regular season. We all know what happened to Jordan Travis. But, yeah, I mean, the three words that are disappearing from college athletics the fastest are stability, continuity, and familiarity. And it's a lot easier to grow when everybody kind of understands what's going on and what's expected, and it's not about me, it's about we, or whatever cliche you want to use. But, yeah, I mean, that's always been like that in team sports. But that's why, to me, football is the greatest team sport on the planet Earth. I mean, it's that's what makes it so tough. You got to get 11 guys operating in sync with chemistry at the same time, and that's really hard to do. Heck, it's hard to get 5 guys in basketball.
Heck, you're right. Sometimes it's hard to get 2 doing whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, Jake, it's great that you're back. Great to have you back. Let everybody know what you've got on tap coming up there at Crane & Company.
Yeah, well, look, we're live 2 p.m. Central in the afternoons. We're taking live calls. We have a live chat. We're talking a ton of college football. I kind of went in a little bit today on Georgia scheduling Auburn for homecoming, which I think is the ultimate act of disrespect. I don't care any way they want to slice it. So, yeah, look, if you're into that stuff and having a good time, I mean, me and, you know, we talked about Joey Chestnut betraying America today. I don't know if y'all talked about that either. But, no, come check us out.
All right, great stuff, Jake. Thanks a lot, man, and have a great week.
I think Joey Chestnut did a very American thing myself, Jake. We can disagree about that, but I.
Oh God, man! Not you, Dan.
He took the money.
Yeah, he's going vegan. Let's be real about it.
Oh God, we could. Yeah, I don't think we got enough time to get more into that.
Yeah,
thanks,
no,
man.
We don't.
All right, take
see
care,
you, Jake.
All right,
see y'all.
All right, we need to get to that final break. Back to wrap things up here on the Tuesday Drive.